This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Gabriel Fauré was not a particularly religious man. Even though he spent most of his career as an organist for some of the most prestigious churches in Paris, it was really much more his job than his calling. He was almost dismissed after repeatedly sneaking out during the Mass to have a cigarette, and once for showing up on Sunday morning still wearing his evening clothes from a party the night before. He was also less than impressed with the church music he had to play. He considered the common hymns boring, or, in the case of opera tunes which had been fitted with sacred texts, even inappropriate. So when a wealthy parishioner died in 1887, and Fauré was assigned the music for the Requiem Mass, he decided to write one of his own. "My Requiem," he said later, "was composed for nothing. For fun, if I may be permitted to say so." End quote. Overall, Fauré had about as much use for the dogma of the French Catholic Church as it had for him, and his religious music, especially the Requiem, reflects those convictions. He wrote, "Perhaps instinctively I sought to break loose from convention. I've been accompanying burial services at the organ for so long now, I've had it up to here with all that. I wanted to do something else." End quote. Fauré's break with tradition is most evident in the overall mood of the Requiem. Most 19th century settings of the Mass for the Dead are large-scale dramatic works that focus on the theatrical aspects of the liturgical text, highlighting the concept of divine judgment, the day of wrath when sinners will be separated from the holy and cast into eternal damnation. Fauré's Requiem emphasizes human feeling, compassion, and tenderness. "People have said my Requiem did not express the terror of death," he said. "Someone called it a lullaby of death. But that's the way I perceive death, as a happy release, an aspiration to the happiness of beyond, rather than a grievous passage." End quote. Fauré also broke with convention in his use of texts for his Requiem, what he included and what he excluded. The work is still perfectly functional for use at Catholic funeral services, but Fauré chose to leave out the Dies Irae, the terrifying description of the Last Judgment that would traditionally follow the opening Introit and Kyrie. He chose to gloss over the Apocalypse in just a few suggestive measures of the Offertory and Liberame, where the tone and imagery are much less judgmental. He also puts the Pie Jesu at the center of the Requiem, following the Sanctus, again leaving out the images of damnation in favor of a tranquil supplication. And he adds two movements from the Catholic burial service to the end of the traditional Mass, Liberame and In Paradisum. The Liberame is usually sung after the Mass has concluded, during the act of absolution. In Paradisum is sung outside the church, en route to the cemetery. By adding these movements, Fauré connects the funeral service and the burial into a single composition, smoothing the transition for both the departed and those left behind. Fauré had originally scored the Requiem for low strings, organ, harp, and timpani, no violins or winds. Even in his final version from 1900, we don't hear the violins until the third movement, Sanctus, which gives the hushed minor mode opening an even darker hue. Thank you. The sound finally blooms on the phrase et lux perpetua and perpetual light. Which highlights the importance of this symbol in the Christian funerary tradition. The tenors unfurl a long melody, which is almost chant-like in its simplicity, and which will return, sung by the full chorus, for the concluding Kyries. The offertory movement opens with a call and response in the lower strings, and later on in the lower voices. Here, Fauré leaves out the sopranos, which produces the same darkening effect in the chorus as leaving out the violins did for the accompaniment. The texture here is richly woven, like a motet from the High Renaissance. The movement's central section is a baritone solo over a gently rocking accompaniment. And it closes with a radiant Amen. The violins make their first appearance in the Sanctus. When the men of the chorus repeat the sopranos' phrases, the Hosanna section briefly rises to fortissimo. Mounting excitement of Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The music recedes quickly into the distance, as though Fauré wanted to downplay the vividness of this image, and the movement ends with ethereal trills in the violins. The Pie Jesu for solo soprano is serene and contemplative. As the supplicant prays that the departed may be granted rest, semper aeternam, everlasting. The Agnus Dei begins with a beautiful melody in the violins, first violas, and organ in F major, a key that was traditionally used for pastoral scenes. The tenors enter with a new tune that turns out to be the primary melody. The beautiful opening music was actually a counter melody to this one. The full chorus sings a melody that wanders from key to key, adding more anguish to the text of the Agnus Dei. And the tenors finally restore calm in the key of C major. One of the Requiem's most magical moments occurs at the point where Fauré joins the Agnus Dei and the Lux Aeterna texts. Sopranos sing Lux, light, on the note C for two measures, unaccompanied, and marked dolce, sweetly, like a distant beacon. In their third measure on the word Aeterna, eternal, the remainder of the chorus and orchestra enter in the warm, related key of A flat. The movement ends with a return of the somber music of the opening introit. Which brightens in the final measures. As the pastoral countermelody from the opening of the Agnus Dei comes back in D major, offering a balm of hope and reassurance. The final two movements are a contrasting pair. The Liberame is a dark and urgent plea. The baritone solo seems agitated, and especially so when the full chorus takes up this music at the end of the movement. The horns and trumpets enter for the first time to underscore the Dies Irae portion of the Liberame. It's a brief but still firm reminder of the Day of Judgment and a remarkable contrast to the rest of the Requiem, which is otherwise calm and reassuring. In Paradisum, the text that would normally accompany the funeral procession, is a vision of paradise. Sopranos sing a sustained melody, while the tenors and basses enter with gentle commentary on the last phrase. The accompaniment is celestial, the overall character is one of blissful calm, and the work ends quietly as the chorus sings Requiem, the word with which the piece began. Fauré's Requiem was played again at his own funeral in 1924, but not heard in the United States until 1931, and didn't really become popular until the late 1950s. Since then, it has been used in a number of films and at countless funerals. It has been called one of the world's most popular choral pieces, possibly because, as Fauré himself said, "Everything I managed to entertain by way of religious illusion, I put into my Requiem, which is dominated from beginning to end by a very human feeling of faith in eternal rest. Altogether, it is as gentle as I am myself." End quote. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.